Hello and welcome to the Elucidations Podcast. My name is Julia Liu and I'm going to tell you what is coming up in today's episode. For many people, love is categorized by its intensity. It comes naturally and it can solve all problems that come in its way. People know true love when they see it. As a result, we have done many things in the name of love. Sometimes these things can even end up hurting other people. So what exactly is love? Is it rational or is it a feeling? How important is love for human flourishing? Our guest Ahan Ben-Zev stresses the importance of interaction in love. According to him, love is an activity with another person instead of just a feeling. In addition, it is something we must work hard for. Love is not without compromise. If we keep these in mind, love can be long-lasting and it can contribute to the flourishing of everyone involved in it. To further explore these questions, this episode of Elucidations will feature Ahan Ben-Zev for discussing romantic love.
Hello and welcome to Elucidations, an unexpected philosophy podcast. I'm Matt Teichman.
I'm Julia Liu.
With us today is Ahan Ben-Zev, professor of philosophy at the University of Haifa, and he is here to discuss The Arc of Love. His book, by the same title, The Arc of Love, is out now from University of Chicago Press, so get it while it's hot. Ahan Ben-Zev, welcome.
Thank you.
So I feel like love is sometimes kind of an underexplored topic in philosophy, which is one reason it was really exciting to come across your book. One question I always have about love, and I always feel like I kind of go back and forth on this, is love a rational response to a person? If you fall in love, are you using your reasoning abilities? Or is it like irrational? Is it just like sort of like almost a bodily compulsion? You just an automatic response to the person? So what do you think about this issue? Do you think that there's like a rational component to love, or how does that all fit together?
If we take rationality to mean intellectual deliberation, then romantic love is not about intellectual deliberation. Romantic love and falling in love is about immediate response to other person. It is an experience. It is an attitude toward other person. It can be involve intellectual deliberation, but it is not the basic. The basic is a kind of intuition, a kind of immediate attitude towards the other person. Intellectual deliberation may change it, but it is not the essence. However, romantic love is not irrational. It is very rational to follow your heart. And even I say, don't think in love. When you begin to think in love, love may disappear. In romantic love, you should follow your heart, not follow your head. It doesn't mean that you should disregard your head, your rational capacities, but the main direction should be taken by your heart, by your gut feeling, by your immediate intuition. Love is the product of our heart. If you say to your partner, you see, I want to think whether I love you, it is out of love. When your partner say to you, do you love me? And the answer is, let me think about it, and I'll tell you tomorrow morning about it, it is not love anymore. Love should be an immediate response. And if you don't have the immediate response, it is not love.
So that's really interesting. To me, it immediately raises the question, if you're in love with somebody, do you always know it? Or would it be possible to be deceived about whether you're in love, like be in love without knowing it?
Yes. We are not always aware of our attitude. We are not always aware how profound is our love. However, we are aware that we want to be with the other person that we love. We want to do activity with the other person. And therefore, we are aware of the characteristic of love. And love is activity with the other person. It is not just feeling somewhere for yourself. It is the wish to be with the other person and to act with the other person. Love may have many types. We have parental love, we have sibling love, we have love of God. What is characteristic of romantic love is that in addition to friendship, to care for other, you have this aspect of desire, intense desire, mainly sexual desire. I may characterize romantic love by having two major features. One, the attraction, the desire to be with other, mainly, at least at the beginning, having the sexual desire. The other feature is praiseworthiness, praising the character, the traits of the other person. So the attraction is expressed by sexual desire. The praiseworthiness is expressed by friendship. Love consists of both sexual desire and friendship.
It's just like going off of what you said earlier about like sexual desires being very important in the world of love. I was just reading the book and I saw that you mentioned passion, and I would be interested in finding out about the role of passion in love and how, like, is this passion, like, is it connected with sexual desire or is it something like independent?
Passion, in the term passion, I understand mainly in romantic love, the sexual desire, or more generally, the desire to be with each other. This is, sexual desire is most intense, but what is more basic in romantic love is the desire to be with each other, which is different from friendship. In friendship, we appreciate the other, we want to be with the other, but not all the time. We want to be once in a month, it's good, once maybe a little bit more, but generally not all the time. In romantic love, we want to be all the time, not maybe 24/7, but still we want to be as much as possible. And we want to be as close as possible to the other.
I was just going to say that's very interesting that there's like this notion of intimacy in love. So I guess I want to say is that how is like passion connected to intimacy? Will like intimacy wear out this passion or will it just build up this passion?
The passion, or let me say the desire. I use the word desire, not passion, but they are similar. The desire is at the beginning. The attraction to each other, it is at the beginning. And that with time, the desire or sexual desire declines. There is statistic that a year after marriage, the sexual interaction are about half than a month after marriage. And as all married people know, it continues to decline after the first year. So the direction of the desire is to decline. The other aspect of love, the praiseworthiness, the friendship, time does good to this aspect. While time decreases intensity, time make enhance profundity. Profound love needs time. You cannot meet someone and after half an hour, say to her, I'm profoundly in love with you. It is not true. Profundity takes time. Takes time, sometimes months, sometimes years. And profundity increases with time. And in this sense, somewhat compensate for the decrease in intensity. We may also say that when the profundity is very deep, great, then intensity getting increased. When, for example, you admire a person, your sexual desire to this person increases. There was a survey among Italian women, and they said that they more sexually satisfied when having sex with their boss. And you may ask, why they are so sexually satisfied with the boss, if we assume that the boss are similar to other men in their organ. Yes? So the answer is that the aspect of praiseworthiness, the aspect of admiration, this aspect is strong and it increases the intensity of the desire. So there can be interaction between these two aspects, between the desire and between the profundity.
That's very interesting.
Okay, right. So as it were, they kind of exchange importance over time. We start off with a high desire quotient, and that goes down over time. And then what goes up over time is the need to be with the person all the time, which is connected to maybe like admiring them as a person or something like that. One question I have about these two kind of like components of love is how separable are they? So we're sort of talking about them as kind of going up and down independently of each other. Mm-hmm. But is there like a deep kind of causal connection between them, or are they just two totally independent variables?
They're not totally independent. There is connection between them, but the connection is complex. Usually, or often, the increase of one component has positive effect on the other component. Greater intensity make you love more, sometimes even a little bit deeper, even though the intensity can blur your sight. But for sure, when it is deeper, when the profundity is greater, then the intensity at least does not decrease and often increase.
Some of what you've been saying about love brings certain comparisons to mind. I think of like playing tennis, which is something, at least playing a game of tennis, isn't something a person can do by themselves. Having a conversation isn't really something you can do by yourself. You can sort of like play at it in the mirror, but it's not really a conversation. Mm-hmm. And I guess for me that raises the question, is it helpful to think of love as an activity between two people in the way that these two things are?
Love, like other emotions, is first of all an attitude. Attitude you have toward other person. But this attitude is not a passive attitude. It involves, as you say, it involves activity. It involves dialogue between the two people. Actually, I believe that the main characterization of romantic love is this dialogue between the two people, the interaction between them. And if I would have to say, what is your advice? One sentence about romantic love to endure, I would say, bringing out the best from each other. This kind of interaction is very important. I would like to say, there is in psychology what we call Michelangelo phenomenon. What is Michelangelo phenomenon? Michelangelo said that when he sees the marble, all the figures that he sculpture later on within the marble. So what he has to do? Just to put the dust out. Dust just to clean it. The same we can say about our partner. Everyone has some good capacity, good virtues, and what we have to do in the marriage or romantic relationship is just to activate the positive capacity, the good virtues, in a way that the other person will say, with you, I am a better person. Just to bring the other person to his or her ideal self and help each other to flourish and become closer to the ideal self. In this case, there is no reason for separation. If you feel that both of you are flourishing during the relationship, you want just to remain in the relationship. But if you feel that only one flourishing or you are not flourishing, there is no reason to stay in the relationship. So we can look at marriage. We say that marriage should include love. Okay, fine. It should include love. But it should also include self-fulfillment. Self-fulfillment is important because by self-fulfillment, each of us feel good. And if you feel good, you want to stay. And if you feel good, you can help others feeling good. It is easier for you to help the other when you feel good. So it is not contradiction to say that in marriage or in romantic love, you should only care about the other person, only about the beloved you should care, as some philosophers say. No, if you will care only about the beloved, it will not be romantic love. There, you will have no reason to stay. Of course, in parental love, this is the case. You care about the children no matter what their reaction to you. Even here, it's not completely no matter how the reaction, but it is to a large extent. However, in romantic love, where the relation is out of choice, not out of biological reason, out of choice, you keep having this choice. And if you will not feel good, you have always a choice to go outside, to separate. And this choice, in our days, very easy. In our society, it's very easy to get into relationship and get out of the relationship. What is difficult is to maintain love, to maintain in the relationship. Therefore, we should make sure that both of us are happy about our personal thriving as well. It is not rude to say that I am in love and I want to be in the relationship because I feel good. I fulfill my desire or my capacities. It is not a wrong word to say. Some philosophers do think so. Immanuel Levinas said, in love, you should care only about the beloved. Your needs are of no importance. If my needs are of no importance and I have a choice, I'll go out of the relationship. I will go to a relationship in which my needs are important, in which I have fulfilled my capacity, in which I feel thriving. So the interaction between the two people is crucial for love. Therefore, activities are important. And if you want to predict whether love will stay, you should look at the interaction between them at the beginning and say, okay, if the interaction, for example, is equal, if it is joyful, they have a good chances. But if you detect contempt in the interaction, it is highly probable that they will not stay together. The interaction which is respectful, which is on equal footing, is crucial for the duration of love. And if, in addition to this, you also bring out the best from each other, you are in heaven. And no one wants to go away from heaven. Everyone wants to stay in paradise, yeah? And therefore, try to be paradise by bringing out the best from each other.
So in a way, it's like romantic love is something like reciprocal parenting or something in which, you know, I'm trying to detect value in another person and sort of bring it out like a sculptor of the other person, as it were. But they're doing the same thing to me.
Yeah.
And it's essential to the nature of the relationship that at the same time as I'm doing this to them, they're doing the same thing to me.
Yeah, reciprocity is crucial in romantic love. And also equal status. Equal status is very important. Autonomy is very important. There was a study. They asked men and women, how much you like your partner to be above you? And the answer usually was, I am ready that my partner will be above me, but about 25% more. Why 25%? This man answer. 25%, she earns more money, so we shall have more money. But above 25% is already inferior. Within 25%, he can say, we are equal. She's 25% more in me in general. I'm 25% more in looking or in external appearance, whatever. Can see. But greater differences are destructive to the relationship. By the way, another study found that those who have equal standing, equal status, are the least probably to have affair. Affairs are more common among those who are superior and think themselves to be superior and those who are inferior. Why? Because the superior think to himself, okay, I am superior. I deserve to have something more. I give more. So something more is a fair. And the inferior may say, I am inferior. I'm not like this. I need to compensate it by having an affair to compensate, to return to me the self-esteem of mine. So equality in status is very important in romantic love.
So I very much agree with what you said about how love is about the flourishing of both parties.
Yeah.
And I think flourishing of both parties is very important to love.
Yeah.
But what I'm curious about is how important is love to the flourishing of a person? Like, how important is love to a good life? Like, will my life be missing something if I don't happen to come across this profound love?
Love is not all we need. We need more than love in life. And however, love is very important to have a flourishing life, happy life. People can flourish and can be happy without love. And people with love can be miserable. Because love is not some separate entity in excluded. Love is an attitude within life, within the framework in which we live. And if we will not be happy with our life, we may not be able to be happy with our love. As some woman said to me, with my first husband, I love him and he loved me very much. However, I didn't feel that I'm flourishing. So I say to him, I love you, but I leave you. However, with my second husband, I fight all the time, but I feel that I'm flourishing. Love and life should go together. I mean, sometimes they are in conflict. And in many times of this, when the conflict is, life wins. In other times, love wins. But they are not the same. And the best love will be in a flourishing, living framework. So the two are very important to each other. Also, people who are in love are more happier with their life. So love contributes to life, but love is not all we need in life.
That's somewhat good to hear, I guess.
Yeah. I feel like this is very much in keeping with a lot of ancient philosophy, where the idea seems to be there isn't any one magical ingredient, such that if you have that in your life, then your life will be good. Seems like it's in a similar spirit.
Yes, love in life is more complex. And therefore, I said, there is no one ingredient to love. Love is complex of various ingredients, various components. And the good life is not constituted merely by love. Of course not. There are other things in life, mainly personal flourishing and other kind of flourishing. Friendship is important in life, but love is indeed crucial to life, and the correlation between them is quite high.
So there was this part of the book where you talked about how imagination's very intrinsic to human life, and it plays a very significant role in love as well, where we imagine like the future with our loved ones, or imagine the possibilities of leaving them and then like finding like another better option, I guess you could say. So I'd be interested to hear more about like what role this imagination plays in love.
In imagination play a crucial role in love. I mean, we don't live merely in the present. We live in the past. The past influence upon who we are, and we live in the future. Actually, most of the discussion and concern of people who are in love concern the future. So we live and love in both the past and the future, therefore, imagination is important. However, we should also regard reality. We cannot just imagine in the sense of illusion. Illusion is a kind of imagination. And illusion is also good for romantic love. It is good that you have some illusion concerning your beloved, that you think that he is a bit smarter than he really is, and he may be a more kind person than he really is. Illusion is good because it gives us positive perspective about the beloved. However, it should not be too much. Remember the 25%. If it is too much, we have conflict with reality. And you cannot say if you married, let's say, a stupid partner you have. You cannot say that your partner is very wise because reality will immediately indicate that it is not the case. However, you can say that he is not that stupid. He is average.
So romantic.
He is average. He's not about beauty. I ask someone, is your wife beautiful? So he answered me, she's not ugly. Is she wise? She's not stupid. This kind of illusion are okay because they enable us to interact with our partner. But they should not be too much. Actually, we can have illusion or concerning or more positive evaluation than in reality concerning general characteristic, but not the specific one. So a woman can say, my husband is wonderful, however, he's so disorganized. Now, what we see here, disorganized, she cannot deny it. I mean, all the time, she see every hour, she see how is this organized. However, she give little weight to this property and thinks that the other property of him, let's say wisdom or kindness, is more important. Therefore, she can still speak about him as wonderful person.
That's really cool. Just like a follow-up, are we all under some sort of illusion when we're in love? Does love make us blind?
No. Love doesn't make us blind, but love may make our sight blurred a little bit. We don't see precisely. When your heart is on fire, smoke gets into your eyes. And you don't see it so clearly. But it is not blindness. And it is good that we see things, our partner, in a more positive way. But not too much positive. Balance, moderation, is what Aristotle says in life. Also in love, moderation. You can exaggerate a little bit, but not too much. We should have ideals. And ideals we don't always fulfill. Ideals, also in love, are some kind of beacons that let us see the direction. And even if we are not over there yet, but we are on the right direction. So the positive attitude toward the other person is important in love.
That's really interesting. So, like, these questions are more about your book, I guess, than about love. So I was just reading your book, and I saw that there were a lot of quotes before each chapter, and some of these quotes were by authors and singers, and some of these other quotes were just by random internet users, and I thought they were really funny. So I was just curious about how you selected those quotes and what role you thought they would play in the book.
Okay, I really appreciate the sense of humor. Also in love. When you ask women or men about their positive characteristics that they like, sense of humor is one of the on the top list. So sense of humor is important. Another thing is that this humor gives us the right proportion of life. We should not be that serious. As someone said, you know why angel flies? Because they take themselves lightly. And this is the case. We should take ourselves in a humble manner, and humor enable us to take ourselves in this humble manner. And these citations are also expressing real truth in our life. In humor, we always exaggerate, but there is some core which is true, and the humoristic quotation express it. For example, when Zsa Zsa Gabor said that I know nothing about sex because I was married all my life. So there is an exaggeration that married people don't do sex enough or don't know about sex, and you know about sex more when you have another partner. This is the core. But it is, of course, exaggeration, and it is nice to read this wisdom. I think she was very wise. Zsa Zsa Gabor, also very beautiful, but it gives some taste to the reading and for us as well. So I like it, and therefore I put it in the book.
Definitely. I like them a lot as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, and another question I had was about your positivity regarding love.
Yeah.
Because it's very unusual that you have such a positive idea of love, especially in the modern world that we're in, where like most of the ideas about love is that it's like, it's not long-lasting, it's not an intrinsic part of our life, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like everybody wants to be cynical smartasses all the time or something.
Yeah.
I'm optimist person. I'm saying about myself that I was born with a brain defect, being too much optimist. And optimism is good in life. There are many studies that optimists say people live longer, and they not only live longer, their life is more pleasant than those of the pessimist. So it is good to be optimist. Now about love. When I say I'm optimist about love, I don't mean that I think that love, all kind of love, romantic love, will endure forever. In one song, it is even written, I will love you forever and a day. Just to be on the safe side, she said, forever and a day, another day. It is not the case, but I believe that when you find your partner, it can endure for a long time. Long time can be many years. And if it end, it is not the end of life. It just end of a certain relationship and opening of other relationship that may come. So we don't have to be so sad about love. We should enjoy the love we are in. We should develop it. We should enhance it. But when it end, it doesn't mean that it was not true love. True love can end because there are circumstances that end love, and therefore we should invest effort while we are in love and take it calmly that it is end nevertheless. And therefore we should be optimistic in life and also in love. Love is possible also in later age. Some people in later age may find the love of their life. There is no contradiction in this. You can find love in any age, and you can enjoy and enhance it in any age.
Definitely.
What do you think is the biggest misconception out there about love, and like, what's the right way to think about it?
The biggest misconception is to see love as absolute, uncompromised attitude. My previous book was In the Name of Love, Romantic Ideology and Its Victims. We are all victims of romantic ideology, that love will conquer us. All we need in life is love. There is no mountain high enough to stop our love. All this claim that embedded in our culture. These claims are fine when they are the beacons where we should go. But when you take them literally, it is a misconception which can bring a destructive result. We can, all of us, in light of this romantic ideology, look for the prince or princess on the white horse. How many of us meet them? Very few. So actually, in life, we should compromise and we should be happy with good enough partner, not with ideal partner. But you cannot say it. You cannot say to your partner, darling, I love you, but you know that you are compromised for me. because of this romantic ideology, when people take this claim literally, they are disappointing. Disappointment all the time because they don't reach this ideal, which is very hard to reach. Some of these men kill their wives or partner because their pathological notion of love, which is so extreme, cannot be fulfilled, and she wants to separate from him. So it is in the name of love we have done horrible crimes. Human nature and humans all over history. All over history we've done horrible crimes in the name of love, as we have done in the name of religion. Both are very powerful and valuable ideologies. When we take them to the extreme, we can just destroy our life and our relationship.
It seems like part of what you're resisting here is the idea that we just sort of sit here passively and love just happens to us. And, you know, that's that. As opposed to love being something that we kind of like actively work on, as it were.
Yes. Love is not passive. Love, we should work on it. However, if you work too hard on it, It is a sign that you are in a wrong working place. We should not think of ourselves as having a second shift of work. We are at work in our job, and then we come back home to a second shift of work. It doesn't work this way. You don't want to have two shifts of work. Love is not like work that we suffer in it, that it is toward some goal that we want to achieve, some money that we want to get. Love should be enjoyable, fulfilling, meaningful all the way. And you have to work on this. I don't say no, but it is a different type of work. It is a work in which you enjoy every step on it, and you feel that you, both of you, are developing and getting more and more meaningful feeling, meaningful experiences from this relationship.
Aaron Ben-Zeev, thank you so much for joining us. That was a great conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Elucidations blog has moved. We are now located at elucidations.now.sh. On the blog, you can find our full back catalog of previous episodes. And if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out on Twitter at elucidationspod. Thanks again for listening.